Well, did you see that video that has now gone viral of the father in the laundromat who was there with the mother and a little kid? Well, as a joke, he opens up the washing machine. These are those big industrial ones, right? Where you can look right in through the bot right there in the middle. He opens it up and he throws the little guy in there and turns it on. Well, actually, he didn't turn it on, but he shut the door. It turned on. He's panicking. He can't open the door. And the little kid's in there spinning around. I assume water's starting to flow. The mother spots it. She goes ballistic. They're pounding on this glass door. People are coming by. The manager of the establishment is trying to get in. He finally goes through the back and is able to pop it open. And they get the little guy out. But unbelievable. How could that happen? Anyway, we're going to have open lines for you. And whatever you want to talk about is fine, but also comment on some of the most bizarre things that you have seen. We've got an hour to do this, and we're going to end the show tonight with another bizarre story that if some of you haven't heard it, you just won't believe it. And welcome back to Coast. Open lines here for you. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry in Toronto, Canada, on the international line. Hey, Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. Four of us have tickets for your appearance on June
Great.
23.
Make sure you come up and say hi to me, would you?
You bet. We bought these tickets back in March, and we're ready.
Excellent. I got to check in to see how many people they have so far in attendance.
I was talking to the guys in charge of the ticket sales,
Okay.
and there are people coming from as far as the Yukon,
Wow.
Edmonton, all over Western New York, where you're heard on a number of affiliates down there. And the way he put it was that by a quarter to seven that night, the atmosphere is going to be electric.
I love it. That's
Yeah.
exciting. I'm looking forward to this.
I've looked
And I've got a surprise there for you too. I won't tell you yet because it's a little
Perfect.
surprise.
Surprises are good. I've read about the other two guests that are going to be there, but there's been very little said on the websites about what you might be talking about that night. And I was wondering if you could give us just a tidbit preview
Of your Toronto, of the Toronto exhibit?
what you might be
Okay.
addressing
Well, we've
from.
got two. First of all, I've got two guests there with me.
Yes.
Michael Cremo. We're going to talk about his belief that civilizations are millions of years old. And Stanton Friedman, who was my first radio interview when I was 21 years old, who's still kicking as the ufologist. And he's one of the best. And he's got dual citizenship, so he lives up in Canada. So I'm looking forward to that. But in addition to that, there's going to be some fun and some surprises. It's a 3 to 4 hour program, I think. So we're going to have a good time.
Fantastic.
All right, I'll see you there in
Yes, you
several
will.
weeks.
Okay, yeah.
It's coming up.
Okay.
I'm going to fly from St. Louis. It'll be easier for me.
Yeah.
Oh, and I better bring my passport, right?
Oh, yeah. If you don't,
I won't get in.
you may not get in.
Oh no, that would be a disaster.
I'll say.
Okay, I'll see you later, Terry.
You bet.
Thanks. Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska. Tony's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Yeah, I've been awful busy for an old man, and I've been, as I told your screener, I've been taken about 10 times. I don't call it abduction because most of my findings have been on the good side, and I'm now 77 years old, and I've been knocking around this whole planet all these years, and most of my early times was blocked out of my memory until I went to Roswell in 2000 and met Glenn Dennis and Clifford Stone and Bobby
Sure.
Davis and some of the others that was there at the con.
Glenn Dennis, of course, was the funeral director.
Yes.
Yeah.
I interviewed him on video, and also Clifford Stone, and Bobby Davis was the head librarian there. She had been the librarian in the school district for many years, and she supplied me with some very wonderful pictures that she had in a file there that I brought home with me, which was very beneficial. And while I was talking with Clifford, brought back into memory a little fellow that was in my bedroom many years before, I think somewhere around 1942 or 3. And he was also in Hopkinsville, Kentucky in 1955 with his family at the Lucky Sutton farm. And many years later, about 4 years ago, I was able to communicate with him telepathically, and he said he lived on a water planet 980 light years from Earth with his family, and that's where they got the water when they flooded the Earth 2,000 years ago.
Oh, that's good.
He's about 4 foot tall and green, big wide mouth and big wide set eyes with ears.
Well, what do you say, Tony, when people come up to you, and I'm sure some people do, when maybe you tell them these stories and they say, come on, doesn't happen,
well,
not real?
The reason that they blanked my memory, because even after that, we had a class reunion several months ago, or I forget how many it was, but all but four of my class members thought I was crazy. And I told them I'd even been taken off the planet and had my heart worked on. So society's not ready for the truth.
No, it's not.
They never will be ready for the truth, but I can tell you the end times are here.
Now, what do you mean by the end times? Because something
half of the life on this planet will be deceased by 2024.
2024.
About 10, 11 years away. We have also, there was a movie put out here several months ago on the History Channel on Yellowstone.
Right. I said the caldera. And if that goes, we have a problem.
That's going to go.
It's overdue, Tony. You know that.
It's about 70 years overdue. And the reason I can tell you this, because we have moose that have moved down into eastern Oregon where I left and came up to Alaska to visit some of my Indian friends.
They sense
also
it.
The wolves have done much damage, but yet the ecologists want to protect the damn wolves.
Now, when you say half of the population is going to go, is it because
of life on the planet?
Because of Yellowstone?
From Yellowstone, and we got sisters in Central Oregon. That's heating up. Mount Hood is heating up, and the one in Washington, the Rainier, where.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the volcanologists on this show because I think you're right. I think things are heating up. I don't know how imminent they are, but they are heating up. And if the animals are starting to, you know, make their way, something's going on. Tony, thanks. Let's go next to Rich in Norwich, New York. Welcome to the program. Hey, Richie, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to give you the weirdest thing I ever saw.
Sure. What happened?
Well, I was walking to school. This was when I was probably in junior high school. I didn't ride the bus, and I didn't like riding the bus. It was just too noisy, too dangerous. And I'm walking up. We lived on a state road. And I'm walking up to school, and I hear this noise. And I turn around, and here comes this convoy. And there are two state trooper cars with the lights going. And two of the old Army Jeeps. This was before they came out with the Humvee. And in between those two is this big, sort of a mustard yellow truck, no writing whatsoever on the cab, and it's got this big tarpaulin-covered thing on it. And standing at various points on the tarp are these guys dressed in Army fatigues, armed. They had the cut-down version of the M16. I forget what it's called.
And they meant business, didn't they?
Yep, and they just kept going up Route 8, and I was wondering for a long time what it was, and I finally talked to a couple of people about it. My oldest sister works for Sandia National Labs out in New Mexico. I told her about it, and she said it sounded like it was a deactivated ICBM, and it was going up to a place in here in New York called the Seneca, it used to be called the Seneca Army Depot, and that's where they stored nuclear missiles.
Okay,
bombs. Prior to that, they would take him out to Sandia Labs. They'd process him there, and then it would send the spent waste to this big. It's a mountain in Nevada. I forget what it's called. I think it's like Black Rock Mountain or something. And that's where they stored it. And I had one of those little tiny pocket cameras with the, like they call them, the Instamatic, the little Kodak pocket camera, just a weird size film with me. And the other person I talked to had been a state trooper, and he said it was a good thing he didn't take any pictures because...
Oh, they would have come after you. I think you're talking about the Yucca Mountains in Nevada.
Yeah, you know, that's the Yucca Mountains.
Yeah.
But that was the weirdest thing I think I ever saw.
That is a great story. All right, thanks for that. You remember A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson? Remember they were talking about what did you do to Private Santiago? Well, we've got Santiago on the phone from Emporia, Virginia, but he's not the private. First-time caller. Hey, Santiago, welcome.
Oh, thank you, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good, I'm great. Thank you.
George, I got to comment you again on a wonderful show.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to Gloria, but I want to talk to you because I value your opinion. I am not one to call talk shows, per se.
But when you do, it's a big question.
It is. And my question to you, sir, is, I mean, talking about all the pyramids on Earth, and two things that fascinate me are the pyramids and Mars. And I couldn't even begin to explain it, but for some reason, when I look up in the sky and I see Mars, I think home, and I don't know why, but, sir, in your opinion, what is the correlation between pyramids on Earth and the pyramids on Mars?
Well, you have hit on something, Santiago, because there could be a direct correlation. Also, this will knock you off your feet. Cairo means Mars. Did you know that?
Oh. No, I did not.
Isn't that weird? That just adds more to the mystery.
Isn't it?
Yep.
Because I don't know what it is, but I look at Mars, I mean, and when you study it, and the geology of it and whatever, obviously Mars had an atmosphere. Obviously Mars had water. Obviously Mars had the potential of life. And somehow I just think that that is the seed of our life.
Well, Richard C. Hoagland believes that too. He says we are the Martians. And, did we get seeded by some meteorite that had life on it, life forms? Or did they come here knowing that their planet was going to be, you know, devastated by whatever happened up there? And did they come here?
I would tend to agree with the latter. And like I said, I'm not into metaphysics. I really have a hard time with that. My background has always been hard science. I spent 32 years in the military, combat controller.
Thank you for serving.
Oh, no, sir. No. My pleasure entirely. I was not born in this country, and this country gave me and my family the opportunity to have our lives back. I grew up in a communist country. But there's got to be more to it. What goes on in Mars, like I said, I've been listening to this show for a very long time. I'm familiar with Richard C. Hoagland. And his work on the Enterprise. There has got to be more. And Cydonia, I firmly believe, holds the key to life on this planet.
Oh, we should go there. We have to go there. And we have to study it. And, because I think there's more there, too.
I couldn't agree more, sir.
Okay.
The fact that NASA's being gutted is a total shame, because that is money very well spent.
Yep, we're going to be talking about that next week with Bob Zubrin and later on with Richard Hoagland as well. Santiago, thanks for your call. Let's take some more calls. We've got open lines for you this hour. Bobby in Houston, Texas. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mr. Norrie, how are you doing?
Fine, Bob. Good.
I was trying to call earlier to talk to your guest about Aleister Crowley, and I got in a little too late, but I think you might have some insight on this, and I was kind of wanting to hear what you had to say. I've been doing a lot of research about the New Age movement, and Aleister Crowley's name comes up pretty often. A lot of the documentaries I've seen make a claim that I believe is outrageous, and I was wondering if you had ever heard Aleister Crowley being Barbara Bush's father.
I heard that rumor, obviously never been able to confirm it, but that has come that's come up a lot.
Yes, yes. I thought that was very interesting, and I'd never heard it before, and you think that's something that's kind of important, being, you know, Aleister Crowley being the man that he is or was. You'd think somebody would have, you know, mentioned that,
but I haven't been able
to confirm or deny it.
Right. I would think it's not true, but I can't rule it out.
Right. You know, It might be a giant cover-up. Who knows?
Yep, you never know. Hey, thanks. Let's go to Chris in Van Buren, Arkansas, east of the Rockies. Chris, it's your turn.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay, Chris.
Hey, I listen to the show quite often, and you've made mention that that you are not a proponent to coincidence. You don't really believe.
I don't believe in them. I think things happen for a reason.
Well, I had a little story about something that happened when I was in the military.
Okay.
Years ago, and you remember back in the late '90s? I believe it was mid to late '90s whenever the anthrax outbreak hit. back in '94, the military was making all of us take this anthrax shot.
Well, I think the anthrax came after 9/11, didn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a long time after that. But in 94, 95, they were lining us up and telling us we had to take these anthrax shots.
Before this happened. Okay. I see where you're coming. All right.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of people in uproar about it because they didn't want to get sick and die. And the people that didn't want to take it, they said, well, then we're going to give you your walking papers. And I always thought it was kind of odd how they were having us do this some, you know, maybe 5, 7 years before the event actually happened. And I was wondering, have you ever heard anything about it? And possibly, what did the military possibly know that they weren't telling everybody?
Well, you're absolutely right. They were way ahead of the game. They knew some things about the possibility of anthrax attacks. This particular one, I still think it was an inside job. I don't think there were terrorists who did the anthrax attack. That happened in 2001, just about a week or so after 9/11, as a matter of fact. And 5 people died, 17 people affected by that. And that was another bizarre time in our country's history, wasn't it? But I had to get a special couple shots when I was in the Navy. And I think one was like a cholera shot. And my arm blew up like a softball. And as a matter of fact, that following Sunday, I had to go play softball. But man, it was swollen. I don't know why I did it, but I did. Let's go to the Dalles in Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Nori. I called in originally for one purpose, to chat with your guest, and then it seems like I can relate out now to every phone call that's been subsequent to that.
Sure.
For one, I live in the shadow of Mount Hood, so let's hope it doesn't get...
Let's hope not, yeah.
Too active. I was calling about the strangest thing that happened, but given your last caller, I think there's a bit of a revelation that I can offer. It was given to me by my godfather in the 1970s.
Okay, what did he tell you?
Well, during World War II, he worked with a team of 5 scientists in the desert southwest.
Okay.
And what they worked on then, he said, would come back in the future. And it was a very dire warning.
Like a catastrophe thing?
Well, what he did is he worked with biological warfare.
Ah.
And the actual nature of the research and the components were very clearly explained to me, and I'll never forget what they were, and even the specifics of where the research was done, how it was done undercover.
Well, you know, we've known that it's been going on for such a long, long time, Greg. We can't get away from it. I mean, and will it come back to bite us? Sure, probably has already. I'll be back. More open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Linda Moulton Howe joins us on our next Coast to Coast program, so make sure you're part of that show. Hey, by the way, have you seen any recent pictures of former President Bill Clinton? He does not look good at all. I don't know what's going on with him. Send me an email if you think you know, but does not look good at all. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. More open lines. Let's go to Mike in Louisville, Kentucky to get us going. Michael, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Good to talk to you again. I called several years ago and told you about a little story about this fellow I've seen trying to break into an abandoned house. I wouldn't call it a man. You might remember that.
It was a creature of some type, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what it, I still don't know what it was, and I still think about it. But this particular story, and this was, we used to live in that, you know, this was in the same neighborhood, and a lot of the strange things occurred around there. I don't know what, you know, the pull for this was in this neighborhood. I guess the age of it is a very old section of town. And we were living in my grandmother's old house at the time. And it was right across from a cemetery. And this is an old cemetery that even housed a couple of graves from Civil War soldiers.
Okay.
So you have an idea, you know, how old this thing, this place was. Well, anyway, there were some of the neighborhood kids. And it was summertime. Of course, school was out. And they were, a lot of them were out later than they should have been, probably. But they were talking about seeing this headless creature, man, I guess you'd call it, was, you know, walk down the alley and then just disappear. So I laughed it off. You know, I thought, well, you know, kids and their imagination.
Sure.
And some of these kids were friends to my kids, and they played together. And they would tell these stories, you know, and banter them around. Some of them said that the they saw the same figure go through the fence, not over the fence or around it, but through it into the cemetery at night.
Like a misty spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they described it as having a, being about maybe 6 feet tall, with dark pants, like black pants, black shoes, a long black coat with a high collar in the back. Something, I guess you could say, almost like 1800s.
Yeah, okay. Clothing.
Yeah. Well, of course, I just, like I said, I just laughed it off. You know, I thought, well, you know, these kids are thinking this up, you know, and making it up, or having imaginations run away with them. One kid saw this and thought he saw something, and then, you know, how he goes bowling after that. So I didn't think much about it until one night I had witnessed it myself. I went out to the back. Something just, I don't know, something just drew me back to the alley one night around midnight. And
were you afraid for yourself?
Not really. When I was a teenager, I used to walk through cemeteries at night and everything else. I did some kind of crazy stuff. But I was never afraid. Right today, you know, I'm not afraid of the paranormal at all. In fact, I'm interested in it to a great degree. It's one of the reasons why I like listening to Coast. And because you guys have some amazing subjects on there. Amazing.
Sure do.
I'll try to listen as often as I can.
Well, how do you know, Mike, this wasn't like a shadow person?
I could be, because to tell you the truth, George, I've seen him in my house.
Yeah.
Where I live now.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that, I believe in them. I think they're interdimensional. I don't know if they're spirits of the dead exactly, but I do believe that they're, you know, they come from another realm, another dimension that we probably, you know, don't fathom ourselves, but is there nonetheless. But this creature, if you want to call it that, man, whatever, I happened to see somebody walking down the alley. I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was just a person, you know. So they got closer, and I saw the collar exactly as these kids had described it, and there was no face on the collar.
And what did it? It didn't come at you. What did it do? Just disappear?
In fact, he just passed right on by like he didn't notice I was there, and I watched in complete. I think my jaw had dropped down to the ground, and my eyes had probably popped out about 6 inches. And I watched this thing go down the alley and to the intersection with the cross street and vanish in thin air. I kid you not.
Well, that's a great ending for a very bizarre story. That's what I'm looking for with the time remaining, plus your other calls. Let's go next to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, thank you. Go ahead.
George.
Hey, David.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I worked at a shelter, a homeless shelter, years ago, and I worked there a third shift, and all the people that lived there just, like, lived for our bell back.
Perfect.
It was quite a thing. I have rapid fire, quite a few things I'm going to mention. One of the weird things I've ever seen was on TV. One time I saw a thing about like human clones being made with like monkeys and whatnot. And they had it on TV. And when they went away to the commercial and they came back, it was nothing. And
it was gone.
It was an actual news station. The same thing with an actual news station was about the second plane being shot down in the field during the whole 9/11.
Yeah, the one in Pennsylvania.
And then the other thing was I have an audio tape of our bell right before 9/11 where a lady had called in and was talking about like something crashing into two buildings. And I believe that they did a follow-up story to that back then.
What did she say? Do you remember?
She was talking about like a dream or possibly aliens or something like that. But she had mentioned a crash type thing. And then after the fact, it just seemed like it was like too much information. Then the other point I wanted to mention, believe it or not, I grew up near the Blair Road East in Elkhorn.
Okay, yeah.
And had actually staged a mannequin-type monster in an abandoned house at one time and scared a bunch of people with that because of that. And another thing I wanted to mention is...
Okay, one more, then I got to run. Go ahead.
Let me see.
Well, I got to run because the clock is ticking and everybody's on the line. But thank you for the call. Let's go to Nick Bangor, Maine. Nick, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Nick.
Mr. Norrie, thank you very much, sir.
You're a pleasure.
I've been on the show with you before. Real quick, nothing crazy.
Come on, give me something crazy.
What do you think? Do you watch Animal Planet at all, sir?
I used to, not a lot anymore, Nick.
All right. Well, they run in Monster Week or whatever they call it. They run this mermaid thing. It's coming on Sunday or whatever.
Okay.
Have you seen that at all?
I haven't seen that, but we've done segments on mermaids. You know, some people think that they're like seals, animals. Well, like that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Nori. They're running a commercial, and the way they're running it, they're making it look believable.
Well, you know, like, people have seen a lot of strange things out there, but I don't think that there are half human, half fish mermaids flying around. I think what the sailors saw, you know, were those animals. Manatees, I think that's what they are, something like that. Let's go to Rodney in Trenton, New Jersey. Rodney, it's your turn. Go ahead, Rod.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Okay, good.
All right, George, I wanted to tell you, I came across you by I was watching the first episode of Ancient Aliens.
Okay.
And I was saying to myself, this guy got a great radio voice. I never even knew anything about Coast to Coast. But I found you, you know, somewhere through the internet. I found out that you were the host of the Coast to Coast, and I found out about... Your predecessors and everybody. I just want to tell you this story. I have to. I was
15 sure.
years old. I was on a camping trip in the Appalachian Mountains in Pennsylvania. Okay, and something really weird happened. Something came out of this. We were camped by this little. I don't know what you call it. It's just. It's a down part in between two cliffs. It's almost like a small Grand Canyon, you know. And this thing came up. And it was like a craft. And it was surrounded by something that looked like it was underneath, something that you would see underneath a microscope, placebo or something like
sure.
that. I don't know.
Paramecium.
I don't know what you call it. But
an amoeba.
It was something that surrounded the craft and looked like it was organic. Okay? So it comes up. It sees us because we have a little campfire there and it's going out and we were all sitting by it and we're all sitting there and our eyes big and we're seeing this thing. We don't know what it is. Okay, that goes away. Years later, I'm starting to recall some of these things. I never remembered what happened that night. I never remembered anything about it. But years later, I started to remember things. And people started to tell me how intelligent I was. You know, nobody never told me that before that. Okay?
It's like you, it changed you or something.
I don't know what they did. But everybody started telling me how intelligent I was and everything like that. And I said, I can't remember never before this happened to me, anybody telling me how smart I was. Well, anyway, George, I get to be 17, 19 years old. While all my other friends are flipping burgers, I'm working for a government company where we're making solar panels for the government.
Wow.
95% of our solar panels go straight to the government, and they told us that, you know, they were using them for their spacecraft that they sent out of space or whatever. Okay? 5% got sold to other countries,
sure.
China,
yeah.
Whatever. We had a really big budget, $25 million, $23 million every year. I made big money as a kid, and I couldn't believe it. There was this one guy I told it to. I don't want to say his name. I'll just tell you his first name. His name was Merv. Okay, Merv, I told it to Merv. Merv always saw that I had a job, always saw that I worked for the government. You know, always saw that I worked for the state government, local government, whatever it was.
He helped you.
Yes, he always helped me along the way. He told me every time that I didn't have a job to give him a call.
And he'd find you one.
Yes, he was a big time millionaire. He was part owner of the company.
Ah,
and
okay, and people knew him, and he liked you.
Yes, he did like me. He liked me a lot. And I told him the story. He never said anything about the story. I didn't say too much about it. George, I'm 40 something now. As I've listened to your show, but before I listened to your show, I got interested in your show because I started remembering all these things. I started searching for some people who had likened stories on the internet about it.
Sure.
Okay, George, you're not going to believe this. I started to recall some of the things that were said to me. Some of the things that were said to me when these people stepped off of this thing, I can't remember any faces. I can't remember what kind of beings they were or anything like that. I just remembered the story. And they were telling me, like, you're going to start to remember this when you get older, when times get closer. And it's going to all start with a power outage. Okay? Now, remember, I'm making solar panels.
Okay.
Now, I'm starting to remember now. After Katrina, I started to remember more. And I said, oh, my God, it's not going to be something big like people think. It's going to be something simple like a power outage. I remember now. And I'm starting to remember all these things. It's coming back to me piece by piece by piece. George, in my town where I live at, there's a solar panel on every telephone pole. Out of the solar panels that I used to make when I was a kid, when I was younger, and, you know, I started to bring some of them home that didn't pass the test. You know, the ones that don't get the A rating, they throw them in the garbage.
Yeah, they get rid of them, yeah.
Right. Well, I started to bring some of those home. And I had about 20-something of them in the garage for years and years. I started to tell people about them. They said, you're just a Star Trek buff. You're just a crazy weirdo. Solar panels, you know, it doesn't mean anything. George, now, since Barack Obama has said something about solar panels, everybody's on the solar panel kit. Everybody comes to me and talk about solar panels.
Everybody does. There's no doubt about that. Hey, by the way, imagine yourself going to work and you witness an accident like this guy.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa, man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like he... Like it was their fault. Hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman who looks like Mother Goose. She's got... Oh, she beat him! She beat him! they're still hitting them. The one with the little black person still. Oh, a piece of it. okay, he's up on the car. the little woman just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. the little bitty mother goose woman. She's stuck into him and he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
Yeah, it's the guy's laugh that makes it so funny. I hope that you enjoyed that one. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.